It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And there's nothing wrong having some laughter, having fun. And it's good for as the Bible says, it's medicine for the soul, right? And it's good for older people to laugh hard. Yeah, make sure your dentures are glued in. I mean, Brother Anthony, bottom piece fell out one day. He was preaching. Yeah, I appreciate it, Brother Terry. God bless you. Man, that was a good sermon this morning. I mean, when you pastor long enough, you know, I'm on, right? When you pastor long enough, you're going to... You just sense what the next sermon is going to be after a revival. We got to recap it. And the military did a good job. He paid attention. Amen. And all these years, and him and Heather have been a blessing this church, Anthony and Amanda, and Nick and his wife. Y'all been with me several years. And man, y'all got kids and a future one. Amen. Oh, I am so sorry, Brother Nick. I didn't mean to announce that. You young couples, that's the only way we're going to build a church. Amen? Amen. God is good. So good. Now, we did have a mountaintop experience. There's no doubt in my mind. We're talking about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Tony Hudson, man, we had that book before, and that COVID happened, and we had a counsel on him, but Brother Terry rebooked him. Thank you for doing that. And he's a great man of God. And I mean, one of the, you won't go wrong. He's up there with like Dr. Jack Howes and John R. Rice and Lee Robinson and Bob Gray and others. And again, and do you know what he did after Sunday night service? He went coon hunting. Yeah, he found somebody that he used to know that was in a hunting club pertaining to coon hunting. And here's a man that's 63 years old. And of course, he preached Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you know he's tired. But man, give him praise for that. One saved. Right. And there's the one rededication, and others just, their lives change. They just need a charge. And that's what revival is all about. And a church got to have a revival. True church has got to be recharged. And that's what it's about, to recharge the memories, get them back where they used to be, and get this desire to serve God pertaining to, well, I don't want to get in my notes right now, but just get back into the will of God. Amen. Think about it. It's awesome. It caused us to have a closer walk with Jesus. How many of y'all had after the revival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you had a closer walk with God? Amen. It's awesome. A great man of God preached. Think about it. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the church over there in Acts chapter 2, over 2,000 years ago, showed up. He showed up. And that's a pronoun. Amen. Somebody tell the woke program that. Amen. And there was some shaking going on. I mean, some of us got hoarse a little bit. And I want to tell you something. I want you to think about the day that you got saved and how excited you were. And you couldn't shut up about it. And that's a rekindle, this revival. Lord, Psalms, revive us again. And there's other verses we could go to. But there was some shaking going on. I always had said this over many years. The fire begins to burn now. when people shows up, it's like the fire begins to burn. Let me say it that way. And people's life would change. And we're talking about a old-fashioned, sin-killing, devil-chasing revival. But the people come, Oliver B. Green went many years preaching revivals in these tents over there in North Carolina. And after like a week or two revival, he was sitting in his chair in that tent before the next meeting. And one of the members came and said, "Preacher, how do you do it? How do you draw all these people?" You know what he said. He said, "Well, son, I set myself on fire and they come and watch me burn. Cornerstone, help me tonight." That's how we're going to get the message out. Every time those doors are open, every time you have a mission conference, a stewardship conference, or a revival, we got to set ourselves on fire by the power of God. Some of us been to the burning bush. And yet, some of us haven't been to Calvary long enough. Right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord and shame on that devil. Yes, what an old-fashioned Sunday go-to meeting we had. Churches just don't see that much power. That much power as they had in the past. Now, I'm not talking about bringing in some band and some worship and praise team and just to get the people stirred up and with the drums and the fishing lures and all this other stuff that's ungodly. Young people, are you listening to the old man? Listen to him. That's not from God. As Ezekiel says, are we not profaning the house of God? You want to quench and grieve and fix the Holy Spirit of God, you just tangle up in that stuff. We need to start practicing biblical separation. That's a doctrine. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost revival, where the people gets filled with the Spirit of God, where you could feel the... You mentioned some of the stuff he said this morning, I'm not in here. Where you can feel the presence of God. And we're not, Mr. O and I, we're on the road and we go in there. And if I don't feel the presence of God, I nudge my wife and say, "Christy, pray, because I don't feel the presence of God in this auditorium." And it comes to be so true. You can't get a holy grunt. You can't even get an amen. And it's not for my glory. It's for God's glory. And I tell you, you want to kill the church, just quit being a participator. It's happening across our country. It'll kill the church. Be inactive. There's nothing better than an old-fashioned sin-killing, devil-chasing revival. We're half asleep. Christians wake up. With those who lost a burden for souls, where we gain that burden for souls. With those who have to, those who have quit, they started tipping in the past, and where they could get tithing again. With those who failed to attend church more, to be more faithful. Now somebody got to help me. May God have mercy on us. I'm just getting started. I had some hot sauce today on my chicken fajita, and I tell you, it's still kind of burning a little bit, Brother Terry, but we're going to have fun tonight. So y'all, we're going to be cruising up 47,000 feet, but make sure your tray's in the upright position, and stay away from the TV dinners, amen? We need a real McCoy tonight. We have this idea that it takes big crowds to have a revival. No, it doesn't. Big fires are not built, now church, listen, with wagon loads of wood. I said this several times. It starts with the kindling wood. There's a little kindling going on. I tell you, when that kindling starts is when this man of God right here starts teaching the whole month of September on revivals. There's some kindling going on. And what breaks my heart after all these years, I see it, is church, listen, we had a revival. You had a revival. If it wasn't for the churches that have been here, it'll be what you see tonight. Same way Saturday night. In the Sunday dinner on the grounds, you're going to draw everybody. But on Sunday night, if it wasn't for Cameron Calvary Baptist, it'd be a skeleton crew. But we came out of revival. What's happening? Listen, God sees that. There's a problem somewhere. We got to quit playing games with God. Listen, there's people going to the devil's hell. I got kid folks going. You got co-workers and you got family members. And if you're not charged up for your church to get revived, maybe it will never be revived because there could be some sin in the camp. And God said, okay, I'm done. Read Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 2. Let me just say, Revelation 3 says he stands at the door and knocks. I'm going to tell you something. He was a knocking Friday night. He was a knocking Saturday night, especially Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit of God was all on the great man of God, Brother Hudson. And I respect that. And I honor that. Big fires are not built with wagon loads of wood. But it starts with a little kindling wood. When somebody gets a little kindling on fire, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. And you'll have a burning desire to serve God. And you mentioned a little bit about man of the church. And y'all heard me say it several times. Brother Anthony, you heard me say this. We need, if you give me seven good men, we can turn this city upside down. I'll tell you what, you get the power of God. I'll tell you, you get the power of God on your church and the whole towns and even the football teams to start paying attention, you know, of the gospel light as a lighthouse. This church itself beams out and the word gets out. Hey, there's something going on. Like we did in 2015, 2 weeks revival with Charles Hamilton. People were stopping me at the Southern Baptist store there. We used to be by the hospital. And heard y'all was having a revival. I said, yes, sir, we're having a revival. And we're having a, we called them back from the following Monday. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's good. And that's what you want. You know, it's for us. Revival's for us to get charged and get back, you know, where we used to be with God. Get back where you quit arguing with each other. Get back when you start loving your wife, your spouse more. And you can start paying attention more. When you start respecting your parents more. Somebody help me. Amen. Revivals. Revival fires, that's a newspaper. That Denton School started that, didn't he? Amen. Yes, I tell you, I've seen in the past, and I've read testimonies from Jack Cowles, Lee Robinson, and Billy Sunday, where the great man of God won hundreds to the Lord, built great churches. I'm talking about independent, fundamental Baptist churches. And I tell you, people's lives change. And God started blessing the church. And we're living in their days now, in these days now, where you can't, as I mentioned, can't even, you have to seem like you got to beg people still. And we didn't have to do that 20 years ago. We didn't have to do it 30 years ago. We didn't have to 40, 50 years ago. I'll tell you what, they were showing up 15, 20 minutes for teaching. They were showing up 15, 20, 30 minutes before the congregation, the preaching even started. But not now. We got programs. We got programs this and programs that. What do you got from a kid? What do you got from a child? And this and this. We got preaching, bless God. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the filling of the Holy Ghost that built this, these buildings through here. And that God used evangelists, missionaries that we have brought through this pulpit. I'm going to tell you something. When you preach the Word of God with nothing watered down, God blesses that preaching. God blesses that Word. Same way you Sunday school teachers, you stay in the book. You stay in the book, and don't you waver because somebody in your class for the first time. Don't you ever waver, young preacher boys. Y'all been there. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Yes, life will change. We're living in these days now where you can't get that amen or that holy grunt It's sad unless you have a praise and worship team, unless you have things hanging out. And I'm going to tell you, say this, that ought not be in the house of God. I know this old-fashioned preacher, and we need to get the power of God back in these fundamental churches that I've been in. We need to get the power of God back in the pulpit. I know it's old-fashioned. I know it's old-fashioned, but God says He changes not. We don't need no NIV. We don't need all that false idealist statements. You stick by that King James Bible. I'm going to tell you, it's a non-inspired version. Leave it alone. Now, that's not my message, brothers and sisters, but I'm just going to tear it up tonight because the Holy Spirit, we came out of the revival. And we need to know what the results ought to be. You shouldn't have to have a result, really. This preacher ought to be able to tell it. Your spouses ought to look at each other. There's something different about you. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, we're not profaning the house of God when we bring in entertainment. So along those lines, soldiers of the cross, would you please stand with me? That was just a little introduction. Let's go ahead right into the preaching. I'm going to tell you something. It's the same way up here like it always been. It's hot. That means they got to pull this message out on hell. No. Let's go ahead, church. Please turn with me, soldiers of the cross and reverence of the reading word of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 14 to begin with. I'm going to be bringing you a message entitled The Power of His Presence. In chapter 1, verse 14. Please listen. Don't get cold on God. Brother Terry mentioned a little bit of it this morning. We came out of revival, fired up. And y'all heard he even mentioned it. Church, I've seen it all my life. 2 week revivals, a week revival. We got all fired up. Man, we're on cloud nine. And before the next Wednesday night service, like you just had, we got cold in endeavor. I tell you, it didn't used to be that way. How serious are we? How serious? You have families here. You got children here. We need to be more serious with God. He's not a bellhopper. He's not a spare tire in your vehicle. He's God. And He strung the stars against the black velvet of the night. And who are we to say, I ain't going to church on Wednesday night? I ain't going to church Saturday morning for a prayer meeting. And this and that. I understand people get sick. I understand people have to work. But I want to tell you something. When you keep justifying your actions for this and this, how's your attendance? How are people going to know that you're saved or not? You know, I got a little statement I want to talk about that here in a moment. Let's get right into Acts chapter 4. Now I'm asking God to show up, to renew the right spirit in us, to renew our strength. Yes, sir. And let's be a Nehemiah there in chapter 9, 8. Let's be like an Ezra. Right. Amen. Here we go. Now I'm going to say before I move on reading this, there's going to be some shaking going on tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Now, notice chapter 2, verse 1. Now, remember, we see Jesus over there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He's starting His church. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. Now, here in Acts chapter 2, we see God giving His church the power. There can be no greater reference to the empowering of His church as we find here, Brother Terry, in Acts chapter 2. Notice verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from a heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And look at it, church. Oh, man, it filled the house of God. Oh, true worshipers, are you with me tonight? I tell you, I'm waiting for God to breathe on the services tonight.
tonight. I want us to go to the person we offended perhaps tonight, or your co-workers tomorrow, and this and this and that and this, and just, hey, I'm sorry that I kind of blew up on you there the other day at the lunch table. I tell you, I'm asking God to show up. I want you to feel His presence. I want you to feel the mighty rushing wind, and I want the Holy Spirit of God to talk to us. And we never going to be perfect. Y'all understand that? But we must strive to be the best we can for the cause of Christ. We got a lot of folks watching us. Your own kids are watching us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now in Acts chapter 2, we see God giving His church the power. Now there can be no greater reference, as I mentioned, of this power. And as we see in Matthew in the Great Commission also, yes, Jesus had that power. Amen. Now, notice verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, and they were sitting where they were sitting. I'm going to tell you something. You go to these man fundamental Baptist meeting with these man preachers out there. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get shouting all over the place. You've been there. Brother Anthony knows. Brother Nick, you know what I'm talking about. Look at that. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Now listen, church. Listen. You look it up in Greek. That means language. That means language. The word tongue there in the Greek is glossa, G-L-O-S-S-A, which means language. Language. Wow. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues and a language like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Oh, glory to God. Church, get filled tonight with the Spirit. I ain't talking about like a retarded squirrel. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, that scares me when I see somebody acting like a retarded squirrel. Jesus never did that. And I got the same Spirit that He gave me. And He never spoke this way. He never spoke that way. And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you add two baptism to it, Ephesians chapter 4, you're wrong. It's not going with what God has planned for His church there in Acts chapter 2. Notice this, there was filled. And began to speak with other tongues. 16 known nations was there that day. 16 known nations were there that day. And listen, they all heard their own tongue. Amen. Their own language. And that was brought about by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they were dwelling there at Jerusalem, Jews devoted man out of every nation under heaven. Heavenly gracious Father, please, dear God, I'm asking, Father, you speak through me tonight. Dear God, there's so much on my heart, my mind, and I've seen so much in my life, dear Lord. And may I put it out there, dear Lord, that's pleasing what you want me to say, pleasing for you, Father. There'll be one here, Father. And we just came out of revival. Let's bring, Father, help me. Help me bring back that feeling that I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, dear Lord. Help me, dear God, to speak the wisdom of you, not as in Corinthians, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as the wisdom of man would do. No, dear God, please, I need your wisdom. I need your Spirit tonight, dear Lord. Use me in a mighty way. Dear God, open my mouth wide and let me just preach, dear God. Let me tell them nothing but the truth, dear Lord. And draw, even though we came out the revival, but sometimes, Father, we get cold in endeavor, dear Lord, and we need each other, and these people are not here for me, dear Lord. They're here for you. Bless them, dear Lord. Bless those little ones that was up here tonight, Father. In God's precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated, please. Amen. Now here's the fulfillment of that promise. Acts chapter 1, there it is again. I'm looking at verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer. Now, church, there was no discord among them. Now, catch this. There was 120 people, as we know, in that upper room there. And they've been praying for, the scripture says, 10 days. Praying that God will show up. I feel something coming on here in a moment. Praying that God will show up. And I tell you, and you know, we had Saturday morning prayer meetings. We, and y'all been praying for a great revival. And we had all these years, we usually have once in a while a 24-hour prayer meeting nonstop right here. We go in two by twos and pray for the mission conference. Y'all, most of the members here, has been there. They have done that and given God the glory for that. But we do pray. For God to show up. Now listen, some of you think the revival comes because we pass out flyers and tracts. And some of y'all think revival would come because of your pastor or this preacher. No, revival will come when that first knee hit the altar. When that first knee hits the altar. It could be in your car. It could be in your bedroom. It could be at the house. It could be in your office. Either at the altar or at the house. Or just pull over on the side of the road. Hey, listen, when you get that prayer going, listen, that's when Bible starts. And draw your circle around you. And you stay. I told those preachers that a couple months ago over in Arkansas. Revival starting when us preachers again our prayer closet. And draw a circle around. This is a symbolic picture. And we stay there until we get revived. When this preacher gets revived, then the church will be revived. You ought to feel the presence of God already. I mean, just if you just grasp the power of God, oh, it'll change your way of thinking. Man, I got so much I want to say right there, but I'm going to have to move on. And when that Christian or that brother in Christ or that sister in Christ, that teenager would just start praying for God to send us that revival, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some healing in that family. The healing in some churches. Amen. Oh, show us something, dear God. Show us something. Please, please, God, show us. And I tell you, God showed up that Friday and Saturday and Sunday. There's evidence of that way we respond that Monday morning and that Tuesday and that Wednesday night. Praise God, the church still has preaching on and teaching on Wednesday night. Now, if you wasn't here, listen, you missed out on a blessing. You missed out. You missed out. Thomas says, are you listening? Oh, Lord, it'll be. Thomas says, out of John chapter 20, after the resurrection, there was a church service going around, and John wasn't there, and guess who showed up? Woo! I would tell you, God showed up Friday night, and He showed up Saturday night, and He showed up Sunday, and glory to God, give Him praise. Oh, how our prayers went up, and the power of God came down. Oh, please, somebody, I need a witness. That's why I want you to see tonight. I want you to feel His presence. I want you to feel His strength. I'm talking about, I want you to feel the power of God, not only from His Spirit, but the power of God is in that Word, in that Word, and in that Word. If you put those two together, you got out here shouting. Oh, yeah. Amen. Sure. Amen. Kenneth, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Amen. Now, if the church ever going to see a successful revival, we're going to have to be prayed up, as I mentioned. The day of Pentecost was the day that the church was empowered. Y'all remember what the Lord said, when I get to heaven, boys, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the Comforter back to you that will be dwelling in you and be in you. And the Holy Spirit, I believe it's in John 14, the Holy Spirit, He said, I'm going to send the Comforter, and He's going to reprove the world of sin. I'm going to tell you something. Reprove. You have the Holy Spirit living in each one of us has the Holy Spirit living in us. And that scripture there in 14:26, I believe it's 26, It says, I will send the comforter and he will reprove. And that in Greek there, oh, glory to God, means convict, convict, convict. I'll tell you something. Why is it so hard to Christians on smoking and watching this and watching that and certain words come out? You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And he, and it convicts us. It convicts us not to wear this, not to say this. And then we do slip the tongue. Well, we do this. And one evidence that there's evidence there that you are truly saved. Here it comes. It's his spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's in Romans chapter 8. So you, it's just like when you say, oh, why did I get mad at my wife? You're getting convicted. The Holy Spirit of God will convict. That's what the scripture says. Amen. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Yes. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall be in. Oh, glory to God. Ye shall receive power. Power. Preacher, I don't know what to say at the door. I don't know what to say at the store. Oh, hey, you shall receive power. I'll tell you many times, and you soul winners, I don't know what I'm talking about. There's when you're at the door or in the store or in a parking lot giving out tracts and you're asking about salvation, you're going to come up with some verses. You're going to say things. Where'd all that come from? Him. He's going to give you the words. He's going to give you what, and you say, well, I just have a problem talking with people. You know where I'm going, Brother Terry. Listen, I'm with the church. Listen, we don't have problem talking to people at the Walmart. Right. At the cash register where they cheat you out of a dollar. Ow, man, that hurt. Oh, yeah. We don't have problem, but you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What was we doing last Friday night? What was we doing last Saturday night? Saturday morning prayer meeting was going on. And you should receive power. You should be witnesses. Somebody's got to help me tonight. Revival came when God told the preacher, convicts preachers. Amen. Here's a story of Elijah. And I want you to grasp this little story. And we're going to move on. I won't keep you long like Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband. Amen. Revival came when God told Elijah, I want you to dig some ditches. Boy, we preach that a lot. I want you to dig some ditches. You see the wood of sin and disability. First Kings, where I'm getting this, First Kings chapter 18. Remember when Elijah challenged a false prophet, total of 850 of the when it's in the Old Testament, the false prophets. Amen. I want you, and he said, son, he's talking to his preacher there, Elijah. And he said, I want you to gather up some wood. And I want you to dig a ditch around this pile of wood here. And you're going to conquer these 850 false teachers and their false media. Somebody help me tonight. Brandon, you with me? I know that, man. I know you are, amen. All of you are. I'm telling you what, I'm capable of shouting at any moment. As you mentioned today in your Sunday school lesson, I'm capable because y'all don't know where God brought me from. Amen. Yes. Elijah was challenged, commanded by God to pour all the water that was available at that time. You remember there was in a drought. I believe it was 3.5 years, wasn't it? And wait from the power from upon high, as I'm looking at the verse here. And pray, Elijah, I want you to pray, son. I want you to pray, expose the evil which captivates and entraps my people. I'm going to tell you, church, we need to pray as a church because there's some false denominations in this town that's leading the people astray. I'm not talking about pot-belly Buddha, that's one bad thing, but I'm talking about a denomination that has the word church on it. I want to tell you something, if this preacher is too offensive to you, you better check out what you have. Because I want to tell you something, Paul was a bold preacher. Elijah, all of us, a bold preacher. And I'm going to expose even, call it evil by its name. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. If we don't, we're going to tiptoe through the tulips with lace on our underwear, preachers. Amen. That'd be a sad day. We got to, I know it hurts. I know it hurts when you preach the truth. And I don't, you know, want nobody to get mad at that, but I got to give the message because everything in here that I'm saying is true. It's true. It's not for my glory. It's for God's glory. And I want you to pray for the continuation of the revival that y'all went through. I want you to pray Saturday morning, be here for the soul winning and the prayer meeting. And listen, your church can grow. As I mentioned all these years, Brother Roberto, you know where my heart is. We have hundreds of cars come through here. And we came a long ways, Brother Anthony. And God laid on my heart, let the young Timothy's take over. And I'll tell you, and when that young Timothy's took over, it's like, you know, lost in space, that robot. Dee, 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 dee. I'm telling you, that technology came out of these boys. I had to sell all my pigeons in the cage to carry my notes around. Amen. About 3 years ago, I caught Brother Anthony in my cage back there. And all I see was feathers hanging out of his mouth. We're having fun. Yes. Yeah, preacher. That's what he's saying. Elijah, I want you to fill those ditches and pour all the water you have and wait for the fire to come and pray and show old Jezebel the power of God that we're stronger than those false prophets. We're stronger than those false teachers. We're stronger than what the world offers you. Church, listen, young people, we was created in the image of God. Not in the image of the world. We must keep the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6 is kicking in. We must have the sword of the Lord. I'm a Gideon too. You are a Gideon. Some of y'all are Gideons tonight. We got the sword of the Lord. Why? Because listen, evil is prosperous as God said it would right before the second coming of Christ. And we see it throughout this, outside these doors, and on the fake news, not only on the fake news, but on the Babylon Idiot Box. Everybody has a Babylon Idiot Box. And when you watch some of that Babylon Idiot Box, you're probably going to burp. Yeah. Y'all catch that tomorrow. Yes, five prophets in their fake news. And Elijah prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he waited for that power from God to show up. It God literally came down to devour that pile of sin. It devoured that pile of sin. He did. That wood that was drenched in sin. You know what I'm talking about? The sin that would separate you from God. That sin get you into that relaxed feeling of not wanting to be in church all the time. The sin that would keep you out of church. Let me say that. Sin that would cause you to gossip on others. Sin that would cause you to curse, slip a word out here and there. Sin that would cause you to get somebody fired because you want to move up the ladder. Somebody help me tonight. God literally, as the scripture says, came down to the bar of the pile of sin. You see, there was some shaking going on. And the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39, when all the people saw it, the scripture said they fell on their faces. Should have seen the altars Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. Oh God, send us. We pray that all these years we've been in the cornerstone. Pray, please God, send us a revival. And He did this last weekend. And people, listen, when the revival comes, you can see, you can tell, there'll be more peace in your hearts towards each other. This church will not succeed if we're not in unity. The devil has split this nation far in between. You and I cannot serve two masters. We're going to love one or hate the other. And then y'all know that's Jesus' quote. Amen. Yes. People begin to get right with God. Bitter spirits will begin to be cast out. And you'll get rid of that unforgiving spirit. Hey, how you know if that person is sincere with this unforgiveness is when they don't throw up the past again.
Amen. When them don't throw it up again. That's how you know that person's serious. Brother Roberto, I taught that 10 years ago. And I believe in that. That's the Bible. And if we don't forgive our brother and sister in Christ, we need to leave our gift at the altar and go to him or her and say, would you please forgive me? I know I offended you. I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Bitter spirits will begin to be cast out, and teens will go get right, as I mentioned, with each other and with their parents, and just start apologizing for lashing out on others. Just start apologizing. Listen, church, when you get out of the will of God, this is just a small sample. When you get out of the will of God, you're going to start hanging around the wrong crowd. You're going to start getting on Facebook for the wrong reason. You're going to start siding with the lost world on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday. And you expect the power of God to be on our homes. We expect the power of God to be on our children. How can the power of God be on our children in our homes when we're living in sin? Somebody help me. A lot of us have left our children in Egypt. We came out of Egypt, but our children, our teens are still back in Egypt. That's a whole sermon, wasn't it, brother? We did that a few years back. God says, dig some ditches. And Elijah did what he had God asked him to do. Hey, Cornerstone, you start talking about the fall harvest campaign. We did. Yeah. We started talking about the fall harvest campaign back in September like we usually do. And I'm going to tell you, people got stirred. And people, and a vengeance came. Yeah. Your pastor over here, some vengeance came in his mind. I'll tell you what. It was so awesome with the people got stirred and they got changed and the visions came and conviction came over your pastor, many of y'all. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We ought to praise God and give him glory because listen, we got up this morning as I prayed, I think, on that out here this morning where some people couldn't get up. We need to praise God for that. We got a roof over here and food on the table and air to breathe. You young people, listen, you stay away from the stuff your parents said stay away from. Listen, you start with and your parents back in even my teenage days and stuff, there's some music and stuff you shouldn't be listening to even today because of demonic spirits and will latch itself to what you listen to. I know what I'm talking about. I've been studying the spirit world since I've been 19 years old. I know what I've been dealing with demonic spirits all my life in the jail ministry, in this town with the warlocks and the witches and the Wicca. I'm going to get a whole different sermon. But Brother Terry and Anthony, then we'll probably share some of that stuff with you. Yes, let's give God glory and praise the Lord and shame on the devil. I tell you, when God shows up, the power of God is going to be felt. People begin to get convicted. And I tell you, I ask God several times, not just once a month or a year, God, please renew the right spirit in me. Brother Terry, you know, being a pastor, it's tough. And there's times when you work hard, you study hard, and you get in that office, and you say, God, they didn't get it. No, there's no, you know, they didn't get it, God, they didn't get it. And you sit there and you weep and you cry, just you and God. And sooner or later, the Holy Spirit of God touches you and said, you planted the seed. That's all I ask you to do is plant the seed. Amen. People begin to get saved when we have an effective revival. People learn the ways of God. And they will leave here. And I pray tonight when we leave here in a little bit that you be saying it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm trying to shove all this in this message here. And when you go to work tomorrow morning, people ought to see a change in you because you've been in church. You have the next door neighbor. They say, well, there's a family loading up again. They're going to church. Or they look through the shades and mean the blinds. They're going to church. And when it's church day, they know they can hear that car door open and that you set their example before your neighborhood. I'm going to tell you something. They know me. But one day, when one of that family member that's been watching you or that kinfolk or that cousin, aunt, or uncle, one day when they get the news from a doctor and it's not good, guess who they're going to call? Oh, yeah. And we ought to come running. will have to come running. Never think yourself better than the person sitting next to you. Or God will not bless this church. Amen. Oh, yes. People ought to know that we've been with Jesus, especially coming out of revival. And they come, you go to work that Monday, and they say, oh, hey, brother, there's something, you're smiling a lot. You must have been in church again. Yes, I've been in church again. Oh, yeah. Oh, glory to God. And I was down and out, but when I got a hold of God and God got a hold of me, my life started changing. I got on fire for the Lord again, even during the revivals and after revivals. Now, and I asked God to, listen, we need to all do this. We need to ask God to return the joy of our salvation. We need to get that joy back instead of being a grumpy old man. Mr. Grinch, are you listening? And all the lady says. There we go. Amen. God, please let me be a blessing to these people tonight. You preacher, you say, preacher, I don't feel what you're experiencing. I don't feel like I used to. Wow. Just because the fan isn't turning doesn't mean the wind's not blowing, right?
Right.
You thought I was going to use that old one about the cat. You're rubbing the fur the wrong way. You used that. I'm going to turn the cat around. Now, if you have manes, you got problems. Okay, that didn't go. That went over like a screen door in that submarine again. Yes, and suddenly there came the sound of heaven. Verse 2, be with me. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were experiencing a Holy Spirit feeling, a revival, just like any other church grow. There's going to be some mockers. Let me stop and say that. And I'm kind of moving on a little fast here. And still believing God was all in it, there are going to be some mockers out there. Well, I don't want to go. That church stuff. They say these things, and that's their opinion. You know, I go when it comes Easter. I go when it comes Thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you something. One day every knee shall bow, and you're going to answer to God for everything you did good and everything you did bad. Amen. No excuses when you get up here and stand before God. Look at it with me. The world accused them of being drunk. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. What meaneth this? Others mocking, saying these men were full of new wine. Hey, they're drunk. They're acting like fanatics. That's a fan. I'm a fan for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing wrong with raising your hand. Timothy, God says, let's give him praise. I ain't got that. Listen, we need to bring our nose down once in a while. Amen. Don't be ashamed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ain't it amazing when we're talking about God in the Bible with some friends, and then somebody walks in the room. How's those cowboys doing? Yeah, y'all been there? We just put shame to Jesus Christ. We just went ahead and drove those three stakes deeper in his feet and hands. And every time we laugh when God's name is in vain, we just go ahead and drive those stakes. If you wasn't here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you drove those stakes deeper into Jesus' hands and feet. Somebody help me. Amen. I'll tell you something. It was, and listen, those stakes didn't really keep Jesus on Calvary. It was the love, agape love that he had for all of us in here that kept him on Calvary. He could have called legions of angels. And the scripture says that. He said, no, Father, I got to do this. And it goes back to Genesis. Amen. Yes, notice verse 12 and 13. Somebody got to hold my mule while I shout. Amen. Verse 12. What meaneth this? Verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. And it was in this midst of confusion and criticism that Peter, with great boldness, he's a great fundamentalist, he lifted up his voice with great boldness. Now, stay with me. And he said, hearken, hearken to my words. He said, hearken to my words. He said,
listen to God's word. He said, not to me. That's what he's teaching us here. Not to me. It's God showing up. It's God putting out his spirit. And I got all the spirit. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I got all the spirit I could handle when I got saved. It caused me to shout. It caused me to do this. It caused me the desire. I got to read this chapter. I got to do this. I want to tell you, when I got saved, I got all the spirit of God that I could handle. I couldn't, as several preachers made this statement, and I picked it up a long time ago because I was in their shoes. I couldn't stand it if I got to get saved again. I'd be passing out. The Holy Spirit of God was so overwhelming, you'd just pass out. Some of your own kinfolks done that. You go to a hospital bed and you see that loved one and the heartbeat's about to go and the monitor is the blood pressure's going down, down, down. And when they check out of here, a lot of them do this. A lot of them goes this. Does this. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's the power of God. And when you get older, Brother Terry, y'all get older, you're going to understand. Wow, this serious stuff, you could die even tonight. Any of us can. But it seems like we want to just roll the dice and take a chance and play church. Church, listen, please listen to what I'm about to say. It's too many people are counting on their religion to get them to heaven. And it's not going to happen. Religion is sending most people to hell today. That's an old-fashioned statement. It is sending most people to hell. You're not saved because you took the Lord's Supper. You're not saved because Grandma and Grandpa bought the concrete here in this church. And so on and so on. You're saved by the grace of God through faith. Charlie Kirk, I'm going to tell you something. He had a message, the same message as y'all have. All right? Lay your denominations aside. Jesus saves. He's the only way to get to heaven. And he took it, and he took a bullet for the cause of Christ. We can't get people to be faithful to church. Man, we got a couple of people that lives 20 miles from here. And if they could drive, they, Miss Goins and Miss Betty's right down the road. Bless her heart. Y'all continue praying for her health down there. We have people just live a mile or two down here. And it seems like it just take a disaster to get them to be faithful in the church. Be careful. Be careful on that. You could curse your own family. And I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. It's in the Old Testament. You dads are dapping in sin and over this and this and this. You could put a curse on your own family, your own children, and stay there until that son gets right with God. Especially that dad or that mother. You curse that baby before that baby's born and that baby's in your womb there, mama. You curse it when you make a statement. I wish I don't have this. I wish I didn't get pregnant. I wish I didn't have that child. You just curse that child and you will have to answer to God for it. It's preaching time. Amen. I love you. Brother Terry knows that. I said the truth hurts, and I tell you, when we stand at the judgment seat, he's going to open my book this thick and going, why did you do this? Why didn't you say this? And he's not going to show you my book, by the way. Right. He's not. Amen. So keep this idea in your mind. You got to stay in the will of God. You got to stay focused. Force yourself to be in church. Amen. You got to set that example. Let the people see the marks of Jesus. Let your kids hear you pray at the dinner table, daddies. Mama, daddies, you're in charge of the homes. Those children need to take in memories. And one day, I'm going to tell you something, when they grow up, they're going to be telling their friends, I remember daddy praying all the time at the table for the meal. Or grandpa. Or grandma. Amen. And each one of us in this room tonight, the devil would use a family member outside our family, immediate family, to discourage you, to bring your teenager out of the will of God. And that said, you got to go to church again. Somebody help me now. I know what I'm talking about. People have been in that office so many times, Brother Terry. And they said, we're talking divorce. I'm going to tell you, that's not from God. That's from the devil. I tell you, when people say, hey, and Kim Bones gets too close to your kids, you need to step in, Daddy, and say, hey, Aunt, I love you. I hate boss man. I love you. But I'm raising my kid in admiration on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm raising my child for the cause of Christ, because we got to make memories, and the Brother Kenneth's memories never die. Mary's memory will live on through you and through their y'all's grandchildren. Remember that. We're not perfect. I know we all made mistakes. Even preachers, you know, we get upset with their wives. And I mean, I don't know how many knots I got on the back of my head. But, I mean, it's one of those things. And there's one big one. And guys, please listen. When it comes Christmas, don't buy your wife cast iron pots. I don't know how many other things I threw away. Yes. Yes, I had a burning bush experience one time, and I had a Calvary experience. Yeah. You don't know what God brought me through. Glory to God. I don't have to have that wine stuff to get me feeling good. Right. I don't, hey, listen, are you high on Jesus? Come on, I ain't talking about the smoking dope. Amen. Amen. You remember the old saying back when Brother Kenneth and some of y'all with me tonight? You remember words, terminology has changed. Grass was something we mowed, not smoked.
Right.
Pot was something we cooked in. Yeah. And God help our country. I can go on and on and on. A mouse is something we killed. Amen. In a virus is something we tried to take medicine for. God help our country. Yeah. I don't have to have a honky-tonk, clubhouse. I don't have to have this worldly music to get me feeling good. God would get a hold of me, and I get a hold of God and His Spirit, and bear witness of my spirit, and He was fill me. I want to tell you, somebody got to help me now. I, when I'm doing wrong, when I'm not in the will of God, I can sense it. I can feel it. And dummy me, sometimes I sit in that recliner, not speak to God for a couple hours. Hello? You know what caused that? Pride.
Yes, sir.
What caused that? Depression.
Yeah.
Oh, why is everybody raining on my parade? And God says, son, get behind me. Preachers, are y'all listening? We're all guilty of this. We get in front of the cart. We need to stay behind the cart and let Him lead the way.
Yes, sir.
In due time, there'll be more people saved in this church.
Yes.
And we just got to have the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the good shepherd lead us the way.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I got to move on. I got to move on here. Yes. And Peter lifted up his voice. I've got to close here. Verse 14. And many unbelievers were saved as a result of praying upon high. Yes, as I mentioned so many times, the prayers went up and the power of God came down as a mighty rushing wind. We know that 3,000 people got saved in Acts chapter, 2? And then the next chapter, I think it's 4,000 or 5,000 got saved. Somebody still got to help me now. Somebody got to help me preach here. I'm going to hit a home run here in a moment. We must preach Christ and Him alone. It's not Christ. It's not Christ plus entertainment. It's not Christ plus the NIV and the non-inspired versions of the Bible. The devil has copycatted the scriptures of Almighty God. He's a deceiver. He's a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour, from the church scene to the home scene to the nation scene. And God help us. It's not Christ in all those new Bibles. It's not Christ plus words. It's certainly not Christ when you bend down and you kiss the Pope's hand, amen. It's not Christ when you go to a foot washing church and put your shoes and you got wolfman toes, amen. That's not Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone, amen. Oh, I love Jesus. Peter stood up and he said, "Hearken unto my words," that's Christ's words, "for these." And he says, "For these are God's words spoken by the preacher Joel." And it goes on and says, "I'm going to release my spirit." Glory to God. And it and the verse says, "Upon you."
Yes,
that's Old Testament. Wow. And they were all filled. We see that in Acts chapter 2 with the Spirit of God. And they all went out. They all went out witnessing. Some of y'all passed out tracts on Saturday for the revival. And we do, we have this fall harvest for the last 20 years. And it's attention getter, yes, but it's encouragement to God's children. That's why we have it.
That's right, man.
If you don't have a leader, if I wasn't a leader and he wasn't a leader, and we didn't care about souls and stuff, it's going to be bad.
Right,
you're going to end up having to get a band. You're going to have to get a choir that looks like they need to be sprayed, dipped, and worn.
Yep.
Amen? And that's scary, ain't it?
Oh,
that was old preaching. We all know that. So we see the power of God by being in His presence. Also, there's a power in His Word and how we must have reverence for the Word of God. We are what we are. We have what we have because there was nobody but Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we ought to act with this reverence for God, the things of God. We ought to have so much reverence for God that when we come into the house of God, listen, church, that we don't play church. We have, it's in other churches too. We play church. We put a hypocritical mask on. We come on. How you doing? Need to go home. On the way home, you cuss your wife. Somebody help me.
Right. Come on now.
Huh? Or you sit there at the dinner table and gripe about the preacher or his wife or somebody in the church. Your kids are sitting there listening to all of it. And then when they get 14, 15, 16, you wonder why they don't want nothing to do with church. Somebody help me.
Right.
Amen. Yes. It's not Christ plus this watered down sermons or works tied to it. Peter stood up and said, "Hearken to my words." And they was all filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. I'm going to skip a couple of notes here because I got to close this thing out. I got to close this. I remember God found me. Amen. I remember where God found me, and it was just symbolically speaking. I was the lowest of the lowest, high school student, didn't know what I was doing half the time. And I was just an old country redneck man. I was frog gigging, snake hunting, everything else. And I said, "How do you think? Why I eat so many chickens? Because Mama makes me go out there in the yard to catch some of the big laying red hens." And y'all know how to clean a chicken, Brother Anthony. I showed y'all that years back. You go out there and you don't take a hatchet. You grab that old laying hen, a good pot of dumplings, by the way, Brandon. And you grab that hen, you put that hen in here, and you grab that neck, and you whoosh, 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 off goes the head of that Democrat. And just like they're doing today. And they walk around doing this. Have y'all ever done that? Yeah, but we got sophisticated now. We got to go, what do you think to do to the chickens at Tyson? Poor animals. Yes. Thank God for the old days. When the children came home. And when the children came home and grandpa, grandma, or uncle came over to the house, and when they came through the door, the children, the teens got up and said, "Grandpa, have my seat." Or at the dinner table, the kids would get up. And now they're just like bulldogs over a plate. "Grandpa, you got your own chicken. Where's Hannah at?" She did that to me. It broke my heart. Yes. Yes. Let me go ahead and I had some notes here I want to say, but I'm going to close this out. Are we saved?
Yes, always saved. If God brought you through something, around something, and listen, we're going to go through storms. Don't let no preacher tell you you're not going to be without a storm. And sometimes God will send it, sometimes no split toe will send it. And I'm going to tell you, remember, God will hold your hand through the storm. Remember the poem of the footprints in the sand. All I see is one footprint. God, where was you? Son, I was carrying you. You always trust God and believe in God. You parents are doing a good job here. This is your core right here of Cornerstone Baptist Church tonight. You stay faithful to each other. You stay faithful to God. Read your Bible every day. You pray, and you pray in the restaurants. Not for show. You say, God, thank you for this food. And you'd be surprised. Families come over, or a grandpa, or some uncle. Son, I appreciate you praying, son. You don't see that much anymore. And you planted seeds. Amen. Yes, God has brought us through a whole lot. If God means anything to us, I think we ought to make a beeline to the altar. I had a whole lot, some good golden nuggets, but that's for another time. If the Lord spoke to you, if the Lord spoke, as we stand, if the Lord spoke to you, I'm going to say a few words as we stand, as Miss Heather comes on up here. There's only one way that you're going to miss hell and gain heaven. You put your works aside. I don't work myself to heaven. I work because I'm going to heaven. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. If you're looking for a perfect pastor or a perfect evangelist, we're not it. We're no better than you. We're going to mess up. Amen. Yes, only one way for us to miss heaven and gain heaven, that is putting your salvation. That is through salvation that's offered us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We see that in John chapter 3. Have there ever been a time, a place that you truly accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Now listen, the routine again, here we go. We're going through the program. We're going to do this. That's what's going on in our mind right here. But one day, in reality, they might be, I mean, that could be asked to them. They're at the Bema City Cry Oil. It could be the Great White Throne Judgment. Have there ever been a time and a place in your life that you truly accepted Christ? Look at yourselves. The day you got saved, what we preach this so many times. What have we been doing for God? I want to be a blessing to families. I mean, all of us want to be a blessing to families. And we got to put our self-righteousness to the side and gain His righteousness for the glory of God to be shown. And has there been a time and a place when you truly accepted Christ as your personal Savior? A personal Savior. He is our Savior. First of all, you got to recognize you're a sinner. And you can't make heaven without Jesus Christ. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We must recognize that we need a Savior. We all fall short. And because we need a Savior, and Jesus came down, of course, then we must understand He offers this gift of eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Romans 6:23. Now remember, there's none of us in this room is righteous enough to gain heaven. I can't stand at the beam of seat of Christ and say, God, I'm just as good as you and righteous as you. I know Isaiah 6:3 tells me my righteousness is as filthy rags. I want to tell you something, salvation, plan salvation, some of you have it. Some of you just said the prayer and you went on and you're living a hypocritical life. You're living a lie. You know who you are if there's one in here. If you stood before God tonight, like I might have to, and He asked you, why should I let you in my heaven? What you going to tell Him? Well, my grandma prayed with me. Can you recall the day we got saved? Yeah, that's what we go back to. And listen, you're not going to be perfect. You got things you got to work on. I got to work on after we get saved. We're the child of God. That Bible is our milk bottle. But some of y'all in here is on that diet stuff. That imitation milk that we give our babies. You need to get in the real milk of the Word and leave that imitation stuff for that baby to grow under the admonition of the Lord. Amen. And your child will grow up with you, and they'll understand when the loved one died and they're laying stretched out in a coffin. That child will understand. Well, they see tears. That's a normal reaction. God built us with tear ducts. You're going to cry. You're going to tear up. But also, that child's going to know that person is him. If he has that good example of that person, dads, moms, how are you going to be remembered? How are you going to be remembered? One that griped about churches and jumping to church, griping about preachers and pastors, griping about this, I could say this better, I could do that better. Who died and left you in charge?
Right.
We need to check our salvation tonight. In our relationship, you came out of revival. What changed in your lives? What changed in your life since Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Wednesday?
Right.
There's something it convicts me. Where would you be if God closed your eyes tonight? Would it be eternity in hell forever and ever and ever, or the flames of hell where there's no mercy points in hell? It's a bottomless pit. You have a free fall effect. In the blackness, as the Bible says, well, it's far, far. Well, the blackness is the hottest of the hottest. I taught this about the sunspots on the sun. They're what color?
Black.
When the scripture says darkness, that's what it's referring to. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot. For by grace are you saved through your faith, not yourself. It's a gift of God. At least any man should brag about it. True saving faith. Do we have saving faith? True saving faith is a faith that moves you. It moves you, and it will convict you. It will convict you all the areas of your life. Yes, we're not going to agree on everything. My wife and I don't agree with everything. Amen. I'm always wrong. She's right. Miss Sharon taught my wife that. True saving faith is faith that moves you and convicts you in all the areas of our lives. Your faith in Christ, and I close with this word, already, produces. Yes, John chapter 15, a good chapter to read. Heavenly gracious Father, thank you for your movement. Thank you for, just,